Mark chapter 4, look if you would, starting at verse 26. It says, "And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again this morning, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the people of this church. I'm thankful, Lord, for the beautiful summer you've given us, Lord, with the rain. And Lord, is just you've been so good. And Lord, I'm thankful for the time we had at both camps, Lord, and that the kids were able to come, Lord, and you did a great work at those camps, brought us home safely, Lord, and I'm just thankful for all of that. Lord, I pray that you continue to work in the hearts of all of our young people, Lord, and help them just continue to see, Lord, what following you is all about, Lord, and help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us all to grow in those areas, Lord. I pray also if there's somebody who's not saved today, Father, I pray that your word is just, Lord, to just give them great conviction, Lord, whoever it is that isn't saved, that they see the need, Lord, for you to be their Savior. Help them to see, Lord, that without you there's no hope. And Lord, I just pray this morning, Lord, that you'll have our ears focused, our ears zeroed in on you, Lord, and help just protect us from anything that would come in and disturb us, Lord, or Lord, keep the thoughts of our heads maybe of home or whatever's cooking this afternoon or what's going on. Help us just to focus on your word this morning, Lord, that you could speak to our hearts. And Lord, we're going to trust that you will. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God is a God of order. And God has also built order in the physical world. He's also built order in the spiritual world. And this order is what we call laws. In other words, there are certain laws that God has put in place, both physical laws and spiritual laws. These spiritual laws and physical laws are things that you cannot break as well. That's how God keeps things in order. I'll give you an example. If a man steps off a 20-story building, he says, he's going to try to break the law of gravity. He will break his neck. Amen. Because the law of gravity is there. It is. For some of us, it's more effective on some of us than others. Okay? Then you also have things like the second law of thermodynamics, also known as the universal law of decay, which states that everything eventually breaks down and returns to its natural state. Cars get old and they rust. Clothes become faded and worn. Even man is dying. Today, I mean, today you may be in great shape. I'm just going to tell you, I know it's going to depress you, but your body is breaking down. It's a law that God has in place. That's the way it's going to be. And so there are many natural laws. That's just two of them. But what are the laws written in the spiritual world? Well, one of the great laws that the Bible talks about in the spiritual world is the law of the harvest, and also known as the law of reaping and sowing. And the Bible tells us that when it comes to the law of the harvest, that there are really basically five parts to this law. Now, this law is something that it's going to happen, folks. I mean, it's the same way with, you know, when we think about, a lot of crops were planted. In fact, one of the blessings this morning was, you know, the crops got in before the rain came, and people have been harvesting. You know, it's a law that it's the law of the harvest, not only spiritual, but also physical. If I take a seed and I plant it and I water it, that seed's going to come up. Amen? Yes. That's what I mean. And now sometimes there are other things that can affect that, but I'm talking generally that seed is going to come up. Would you agree that if I do not plant the seed, now I'm not talking about weeds, I'm talking about the things that are planted, but if I do not plant the seed, would you agree that that seed is not going to come up and get something? I mean, that's just the law. I mean, if you don't put the seed in the ground, nothing's going to come up out there other than weeds. All right? And so there are laws when it comes to the physical aspect of it, but there are also laws when it comes to the spiritual aspect of reaping and sowing. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, are these laws, and so that you kind of understand what's going on. Now, the first law, when it comes to this spiritual law of reaping and sowing, is obviously the part of planting. That is, if you're going to have a harvest, you have to plant something, okay? There must be planting going on if there's going to be a reaping. Now, notice here in Mark chapter 4, verse 26, it says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. And so there can be no harvest at all unless you plant the seed. You say, well, Pastor, where are you going with this? I'm talking about anything that you plant, whether it be good or bad. There's going to be, there's sowing and then there's reaping. And anything. If you sow good, you're going to reap good. If you sow bad, you're going to reap bad. If you sow the seed of the gospel, you know what? Eventually, you know what you're going to reap? People getting saved. Now, you're not going to have anything to do with that because it's God who gives the increase. Amen? But still, the law of sowing and reaping is still there. And so what I'm trying to say is this morning, I mean, the very first part of the law of sowing and reaping is there has to be something planted. What I'm trying to tell you is this, folks. You say, well, I would like to see more people get saved. Well, I would too, but you're not going to see a whole lot of that if you ain't out there planting seeds. Amen? I mean, we all would like to say, well, I'd like to see more people get saved. I'd like to see more people come to church. Me too. Then go out there and start planting seeds. Go out there and start watering seeds, because the Bible says that there's a law of the harvest that has, I mean, the law of reaping and sowing, the law of the harvest, it all begins with planting seeds. Really, we can't even go any further if we're not going to plant the seed. Amen? And so, you know, there are a lot of churches today where people say, I'd like to see people get saved, but they never go out there and tell anybody about Christ. They never go out there and witness to anybody. They say, our church, we just don't have enough people. We'd like to get more people to come to church. Okay, then go out there and invite somebody then. Amen? I remember when I first got into ministry, one of the requirements was, if you're not going to go out there and tell somebody about Christ, we're not going to have you as associate pastor. Why? Because we God has this thing where we're supposed to water the seed and we're supposed to plant the seed. And if you're not doing it, then you're just being disobedient to God. That's just all there is to it. And don't sit there and complain that more people aren't coming if you're not out there doing something. Because if you sow, you'll reap. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that if you go out there and knocking on doors, that everybody that you knock on doors, they're going to come to church the next day. Now, many people will tell you that, oh, I'll be there. I'll be there come Sunday. Don't hold your breath, because generally they don't. They just want to get you out of their door. Amen? But what I am telling you is this. I had a preacher here not too long ago, and he told me, he goes, you know, the times of going to doors and hanging stuff on people's doors or knocking on doors, those times have passed because it just doesn't work anymore in America. That's what he told me. Well, I'll tell you this, folks. Maybe they aren't coming from those visits like they used to, but I've noticed something, and that is God still blesses the effort. He still blessed it. If you're out there doing what God tells you to do, God will bless you for that. You know, we've had people come to this church. They say, I was driving by, I happened to see your sign, figured I'd stop in. Well, who do you think made that possible? Amen? I mean, God will bless our efforts if we're just faithful. If we're just faithful. And now, and like you've heard before, you know good and well, if we plant the seed and we water the seed, it's God who gives the increase. So listen, if you go out there and you witness somebody and that person gets saved, you can't take credit for it. Amen? I mean, today I could take a seed and I could put it in the ground and I could water it. And you know what? When that seed comes up, I can't say, well, it's me who brought the seed up. No, it wasn't. It was God who did that.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
Well, that's the same way. If you go out and witness somebody today and that person gets saved, you can't take the credit for it. I can't take the credit for it. But I hear a lot of times there are preachers that say, well, you know, when he came here, this church was only 10 people and now we got 155. What a great preacher. I'm not doubting that he is a great preacher. But it's not him who gave the increase.
Amen.
It's God who gave the increase. Amen. And at the same time, I know preachers have been out there telling people about Christ over and over and over, year after year after year, and their church has never got any bigger than 15. You say, what's going on with that? It's God who gives the increase. You can't hold yourself accountable if they don't get saved, if they don't come to church. You can't hold yourself accountable if they do get saved, they do get come to church. You are so supposed to be faithful in planting and watering the seed. That's as far as you go. After that, it's God's. You know what? God says, I'll add unto my... It's God's church. He'll add unto it as he sees fit. Amen? And so that's how we have to operate. We are just supposed to be faithful. But there is this law of planting. And listen, folks, if you're not going to plant, things aren't going to come up. I mean, if you're not going to plant seeds, I mean, it's just not going to come up. And so I want you to think about it this morning about planting the seed. Are you planting the seed today? Have you been watering the seeds? I want you to think about that. Now, I also want you to think about this. Think about how blessed everybody is in here this morning. I mean, how truly blessed. I mean, if you think about this, if you're saved here tomorrow, that's a great blessing, isn't it? I mean, if you're saved, you're sitting here, sitting around other people that are saved. Everybody, turn to your right. And those of you who are on the right, turn to the left, Tom. And look at the person next to you. You realize that person's saved, that person, you're going to be seeing that person in heaven forever.
Amen.
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 Now, I think that's great. I think that's the reason we all need to get along today. Amen. Because we're going to have to learn to do it sooner or later. We'll be around each other forever. But, you know, we're blessed because we're saved. Secondly, I think you're blessed because you're a member of Graceway Baptist Church. I think you're blessed with that.
Yes.
And then third, you're blessed if you're an American.
Yes.
Amen. Let me ask you something. Do you take that for granted this morning? I mean, the blessings that we have. Do you know why you have those blessings today? It's because of the law of the harvest. I mean, if you really think about it, the reason you have the blessings that you have today is because of the law of the harvest. Think about the country that you live in. Why do we have this great nation? Because somebody planted some seeds a long, long time ago. And those Pilgrim Fathers, they came over from the Mayflower, and it wasn't so much that they brought the Bible as it was that the Bible brought them. And these people, they were instilled in the matrix of the society and certain principles that we live by today. That's how it came about. And the laws of our government are based upon the laws of God. I'm talking about the original laws of government. When you read back about how the country started and how our government was put together, you'll notice that you have a president and you have the Congress, and there's checks and balances there. Amen? Where do you think they got that from? Your Bible. See, God uses that. And so now you live in a country that we're supposed to be operating the same way. Amen? A constitutional democracy or a constitutional republic is what we have. And so our laws of government are based upon the laws of God, and the blessings of God have been upon America for a long time. And throughout the years, God has blessed America because so long ago, somebody planted a seed, and now we're reaping some of that. Do we know why you can go out door knocking? Because people died in battle so that you could have the right to do that.
Right.
You're reaping what was sown. Everybody in here is. We're reaping where we have not sown. We're reaping because somebody else planted. Also take the example of this church that we're in. Think about what we have here. Think about the ministry here. We've entered into the labors of other people. Most of you were not saved here, but you're still here as members of this church. Now turn if you would over to John chapter 4. I'm going to show you something. John chapter 4. We'll be coming back here in Mark, but turn over to John chapter 4. I want to show you just how blessed you are this morning, the things that you have, and how you got them. John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, look if you would at verse 35. It says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest, and he that reapeth receiveth wages." So he's really talking about winning souls, because that's the harvest that Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about soul winning. And he says, he'll pay you well if you're a soul winner. Now look at verse 36. "And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathered fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." Now notice verse 37. "And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." Seeing that you're saved and seeing you're here this morning as members of the church, no doubt we've all entered into the labors of somebody else. Think about those people who continue to witness to you. and continue to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ, or continue to invite you to church until finally you got saved, or until finally you came to church. Again, it's God who gave the increase, but somebody planted the seed sometime a while back, and that's the reason you're saved here today, because somebody planted the seed or watered the seed. God gave the increase, you got saved, and then somebody invited you to church, you came to church, and eventually you joined the church. And listen, I'm here this morning, I'm enjoying the fruit of that. I'm out here looking at the people here today, and I see all these smiling faces, and I'm thinking, man, this is great. All of us Christians here today, we're worshiping God on this beautiful Sunday morning. What a great thing. But listen, I have entered into the labors of somebody else. Why? I'm not the one that planted the seed or watered the seed with most of you. Amen? But yet, here you are. Here you are. Person that started this church. He got this thing going, and the Lord led him to start this church. And you know what happened? When I came here, there were always some people here. I've entered into the labor of others. Because somebody else planted, somebody else watered, I get to enjoy the increase of that. I get to enjoy the fruits of that. Folks, listen, you may not be the one who's planting. Maybe you're the one that's watering. And you say, well, I'm entering into the labor of somebody else. That's fine. You're still a part of it. Amen? See, that's what it's all about. You go out and you witness somebody. You say, well, you know, somebody told me a year ago, well, you don't need to witness that guy. I've witnessed to him 1,000 times. He's not going to get saved. You know what I do? I go out and witness to him. Why? Keep on watering the seed. Maybe one of these days you'll get to see the increase and you'll get to enjoy the fruit. Maybe you weren't the one who witnessed to him the first time. Maybe you are entering on the labors of somebody else. But still, you're supposed to be faithful. Still supposed to be faithful. We're supposed to be out there planting. We're supposed to be out there watering. And so these people, I mean, today you're in church because throughout the years other men labored and I'm entering in the Lord of labors. Even when I first came in to be a pastor here, I came to a congregation where people already loved each other, and it was a blessing to come here, and the congregation here, everybody here, when I first came, everybody believed the Word of God, that the Bible was the Word of God. Do you realize how rare that is in America today? Everybody hold up your Bible. Let me ask you something. Do you think this is the perfect Word of God?
Amen.
If you do, you are in the minority today amongst Christians. Most Christians don't believe that. Most Christians believe it's the Word of God only when it talks about the things that they believe, not the things they disagree with. But listen, when I came here, everybody already believed that the Bible was the Word of God. I mean, that's more than a person could ask. I entered into labors of somebody else. Because the investments of others, we're just simply reaping what's been sowed. You know, the missionary Adoniram Judson said a long time ago, he says, if you suffer without succeeding, it will mean later on that someone else may succeed without suffering. Or, he said, if you succeed without suffering, it's because somebody else has suffered. But there's no success without suffering. Somebody pays a price, and you can't reap unless somebody sowed. I think not only the fact that we're in America, and not only the fact that we're in this church, but also think about the very spiritual life itself. Remember, Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 24, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. It was the corn of the wheat that went into the ground when he died, and he laid there like a seed in that tomb. And then out of that tomb sprang forth life. And because of that, those of us who have received him has received life. You and I today wake up saved. We woke up this morning and as Americans. We woke up as a part of Graceway Baptist Church, all because somebody else planted the seed. All because somebody else planted the seed. There can't be any reaping, folks, unless they're sowing. There cannot be any reaping unless they're sowing. That is the very first part of the law of harvest. That's the very beginning of it. You can't have a harvest unless you plant the seed. You're not going to get the fruits of your labor unless you plant or water the seed. You got to be a part of it. And a lot of Christians today, they think they just sit back and say, you know, I don't need to do these other things. Let everybody else do them. And then when they don't see the fruit in their life, they wonder why. It's a law of the harvest, and it's just as sure, folks, as that law of gravity is. Just as sure. So you have the first part, and that's planting. And then you have the second part of the law of the harvest, and that's called the identification part, which means that not only must we plant if we are going to reap, but we will reap the same as we plant. You say, well, what in the world are you talking about? What I'm saying is this. If you plant corn, you're probably not going to get green beans when it comes up. Amen? Whatever you plant, that's what's going to come up. Now turn back, if you will, to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And notice in Mark chapter 4 that this man put seed in the ground. And when he put seed in the ground, what kind of crop would you expect him to reap if he put, for example, wheat in the ground? You think he would probably get wheat? Amen? If he put barley in the ground, what would you expect him to reap? Barley. Here's what Genesis 1, verses 11 and 12 says. It says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herbs, an herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. You notice he kept on saying there? He says, you have the seed here, and it yielded after its kind. In other words, if you plant a fig tree comes up. If you plant wheat, wheat's going to come up. If you plant apples, apples are going to come up. If you plant grapes, grapes are going to come up. Seed after its kind. That is a law of the harvest. You can't plant one seed unless it's in a package that's mismarked. You can't plant one seed and expect to get something else out of it. You say, well, how does this affect me? Listen, if you plant something, if you sow something bad, can you expect something good to come? No. When you plant something bad, bad is going to come. If you plant something good, good is going to come. If you plant the seed of laziness and you don't go out there and tell people about the Lord, you can't expect all of a sudden to see the fruits of people coming through the door. Whatever you plant, that's what's going to come up. And so whatever we reap, whatever, it's going to come after its kind. It'll never be changed. You can't get figs from an olive tree. You can't plant corn and you can't get wheat. You can't sow discord and reap unity. You can't sow hypocrisy and reap holiness. You can't sow to the flesh and reap of the spirit. It doesn't work that way. But you see this everywhere, especially when it comes to our children. If a child, sometimes if a child lives with criticism, you know what they do? They learn to criticize. Why? Because it's a law of sowing and reaping. If a child lives with hostility, you know what he's going to be like when he gets older? More hostile than somebody else. Law of sowing and reaping. Same way when it comes to ridicule. Same way when it comes to if a child's encouragement, if he grows up with a lot of encouragement, he's going to have confidence when he grows up. We reap what we sow, but it's not always negative. Not always negative. It can be positive too. Remember, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. You know, the Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, give and it shall be given unto you. You know what, the way we get what we need? By giving. That's how you get what you need, is by giving. Do you need love? Then you've got to give it. Do you need friendship? Then you've got to give it. What does the Bible say? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You see, in order to get things, you got to give it. If you're going to reap what you're going to sow, whatever you give, whatever you reap, you're going to sow that. If you sow being friendly, you're going to have friends. But if you sow something that's not friendly, don't expect a lot of friends. Amen? Whatever you reap, you're going to sow. And it's going to be the same thing that you reap, that same thing you're going to sow. It's the law of the harvest. So you have the law of planting. Something has to be planted before anything can be harvested. And then you have the law, the part of identification, which means that only the thing that you plant will be harvested. And then the third part of the law of the harvest is really, I guess you'd call it incubation, meaning you always reap later than when you sow. You know, if I put a seed in the ground today, I can't expect it within 5 hours to be at full maturity. I wished it were like that sometimes, but it's just not the way it works. You have to let the seed incubate in the ground for a while. Now in Mark chapter 4, look starting again at verse 26. It says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bring forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Night and day, and night and day, and night and day, he goes to bed, he wakes up, he goes to bed, he wakes up, and then after a while there's a little blade breaking through the ground. And that little seed has to be in the ground for a little while before even the blade comes up, or even anything comes up. Now, when the moisture comes and the sun hits it, it starts getting warm, and that little seed after a while just sheds its shell and comes out of the ground, and they have this little green blade there. And what you say, well, what's God saying here? God's saying that you can't rush the harvest. Some seeds spring up, you know, faster than others, and other seeds take longer than others. And you always reap later than when you sow. You can't rush it. You reap later when it's time, when it's God's time. There was an old story that you may have heard of a missionary who spent years and years laboring overseas for the Lord, finally coming home to die in his homeland. He thought at least there would be some friends to meet him when he got off the ship. And when he got off the ship, he was coming down the gangplank, and there was a brass band and a crowd. And he said, I didn't expect this. And then he said, this is wonderful. But then he noticed not an eye was on him. On that same ship was Teddy Roosevelt, who had been overseas, also in Africa. And when he had gotten over there, he went over there big game hunting. And when he came back, the brass band was waiting for him. And when he steps off there, they start playing for him. But there wasn't a soul there to greet that missionary. Not a single person. Only his wife. And for a moment, he felt sad, almost bitter and dejected. And he said, God, why? Why? Why can this man come home and this kind of a crowd greet him, and I come home and not even a soul? Why? And he said, it was like the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, my son, you're not home yet.
Amen.
You're not home yet. What a day it's going to be, folks, when the saints come marching in, when we're in heaven. We're not home yet. This world is not our home. And in some cases, we may be in heaven before we finally reap the harvest. That is very possible. But I tell you, there's no such thing as sowing without reaping. I have no doubt in my mind that there are people in this room who have witnessed to people, who have told people about the Lord, invited them to church, and it seems like you're just not getting a response at all. May I tell you that you don't know the impact that the Word of God has on people. And sometimes we think that when we give them a tract and we're thinking we're just not getting any response, that Bible says that his word does not come back void. It has an impact. Every time somebody reads it, every time somebody hears it, it has an impact on everybody.
Amen.
And so when you go out there and you give them a tract and they read that thing and they throw it in the trash, or they say something smart to you, listen, you either planted a seed or you watered it. Somebody else is going to enter in on your labors, and they're going to water the seed. And you know what? One of these days, how great is it going to be when you get to heaven, and the whole time down here you've been praying for a guy, and you've been hoping that he would get saved, and you witness to him, and he scoffs at you, and he makes fun of you, and all these different things, and you get frustrated, and you say, I've tried everything to reach this guy, and all of a sudden you die, and you go to heaven, and all of a sudden you see this guy walking in, and he's saved. You'll know you had a part in that. You either sowed or you watered. Amen? How great is it going to be? We're not home yet, folks. I want to encourage you, keep on telling people about the Lord. Keep on planting good things. Keep on planting friendship, showing yourself friendly. Keep on planting good work so people can see what you're doing. Don't get weary in well-doing. We're not home yet. Just keep on going on. Keep on doing what the Lord's told you to do. Have a good testimony. Plant good seeds. And one of these days you will reap. That is the law of the harvest. You may not reap on this side of eternity, but you'll reap one of these days. I'll tell you what, I often thought about the guy who led Charles Spurgeon to the Lord. Now I think about that. And I'm thinking, this guy, I mean, you know good and well, this guy, I mean, he can't read the future. Only God knows the future. Amen. But he goes out there, and whoever it was, and he goes out and he witnesses to this young man. This young man gets saved. Boy, isn't he going to have a shocking experience when he gets to heaven. Amen? I mean, the guy that he planted a seed, plants all these other seeds, and all these people come walking through the door, you don't realize who you're witnessing to when you're witnessing to people.
That's right.
I mean, you think about that. That's reason it's important for us to go out and plant all the seeds we can. Why? Because that's how you see the increase. And what a day it's going to be, folks.
Amen.
For you people who've been out there telling people about Christ, you people who've been living a life with a good testimony, and you see the impact you have, do you realize that even you bowing your head and praying over your meals at a restaurant has an impact on people? You think about that. Something as simple as that. Having a good testimony. When you could do wrong, but yet you choose to do right, and you take that extra change they give you at McDonald's and give it back to people. You don't think that's going to have an impact? It's going to have an impact, but you may not see it here. You see, you reap good stuff. You sow good stuff, you reap good stuff. And one of these days, when we get to heaven, we're going to see what all that stuff had, how all that stuff came about, and we're going to see all this different reaping. We're going to see all this fruit when we get to heaven. But that's for the people who are living right and those people that are telling others about the Lord. You see, for those people who aren't doing that, for those Christians who don't think it's important to go tell somebody else about Christ, for those Christians who say, well, it's really not important how I live. I mean, after all, I'm saved anyway. I'm going to heaven. It doesn't matter how I live. Yeah, when you get to heaven, you're going to have a pretty big surprise too. Because the things you could have reaped, that Bible says you'll suffer loss. You'll suffer loss. The things you could have had, the things you could have reaped, all that fruit you could have gotten, the jewels that you could have gotten, the crowns you could have gotten, you lost it. Why? Listen, if you don't plant, you don't get to reap. Amen? Again, folks, it's just a basic law of the harvest. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So, then we go to the fourth law of the harvest. And that is, not only is there a time that we have to wait, because you know when we plant, the reaping is always going to come later, but then you also have the law that says we will always reap more than we sow. You know, if I go out and I plant a single corn kernel and I put that in the ground and it comes up and it grows into a corn stalk and all of a sudden there's corn on there, I don't know how many corn kernels there are on a corn cob, but there's sure more than one. Amen. Even if the bugs have gotten to it, even if it didn't grow right, there's still going to be more than one. Amen. And most of them are just full of corn kernels. Look how many more seeds now you have to plant. Don't you realize that that's how it's supposed to be when it comes to the local New Testament church? You see, a person gets saved, and then they come into the church, and the church disciples them, teach them how to witness to other people, and then you go out and you witness to people, and you see how it's supposed to spread? You see, one person gets saved, he goes out to witness to two people, those people get saved, they go out to witness to four people, those people get saved, and all of a sudden, all these people are getting saved. Hey, that's how a revival takes place. And you say, well, what's it got to do with? It's talking about the law here that you'll always reap more than what you sow. And by the way, that's not just the good things. That's the bad things too.
Yes.
Notice in Mark chapter 4 again, it says, and look in Mark chapter 4, verse 28, it says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. When you put one seed in the ground, you get more back than one seed. You always get more back than what you sow. If I plant apples and an apple comes up, there's more than one seed in that apple. Believe me, I chew on those seeds all the time by accident. Amen? I mean, there's more seeds than that. And it's true spiritually. It's the same way it's true physically. Whether it be negative or positive. For example, there's an interesting passage over in the scripture in Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. It says this, for they have sown the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. You know what we're reaping right now in America, folks? The whirlwind. You see, this country has laughed and joked about drugs back in the 60s. And what's happening today? We have a drug problem. This country took God out of schools and out of our justice system. And now look how things are starting to go. Look at the wickedness that's going on. And the wicked laws that are being passed. You know, people today have the idea that they can sow their wild oats 6 days a week and then they can come to church on Sunday and pray for crop failure. But that's how people think. Sad thing is you always reap more than you sow. And that's true negatively. It's also true positively. Have you ever thought about the different things and the different people that you've witnessed to You ever thought of the impact that they could have on other people's life? Have you ever thought about these missionaries? I mean, you think about this, folks. We're supporting these missionaries to go over and plant the seed somewhere else. That's us planting. And let me think about this. If you give to missions, you say, well, I don't give very much. Yeah, you don't give very much, but you always reap more than you sow. You see, you give to these missionaries, even though it may not be much, but they're able to go over and witness to these people in other countries. And then those people witness to other people. And then those people witness to other people. You know what you're going to reap one of these days when you get to heaven because you decided to give to missions? Missions is a very important thing, folks. Very important thing. Someone once said, any fool can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in the seed. You reap more than you could sow. And then the last part of the law of the harvest is this, and that's implementation, which means basically, unless you've implemented the plan, it's not going to work. In other words, if you're going to plant, you better hurry up and get on with it. It's not enough to say, I'm going to plant. People say they're going to plant all the time, but until you actually go out there and start planting, nothing's going to come up. Amen? Amen. It's not enough just to say it. In Mark chapter 4, verse 26, it says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Don't wait to get the seed into the ground, folks. Don't put it off another day. Every day you put it off will be one less day that you'll get to see the reaping of it. You might sit around and say, this is interesting, Pastor. I mean, after all, as soon as I have a harvest, I'll start planting. No, but God says that if you want a harvest, you got to start planting. You got to plant by faith. Everybody today that plants, when it comes to the fields around here, when they plant in faith. I mean, if you think right down to it, especially here with some of the summers that they have. Amen? I mean, you plant in faith. They put the seed out there and they water the seed in faith that it's going to come up. They can't look around and say, man, I just think the last year's summer was just, it was so hot and there was just no rain and it hailed and I'm just not going to plant. I'll wait till the weather gets better. Well, you never would plant. Amen? But that's how people are. That's how it was when it comes to spiritual planting and reaping. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. What does this mean? It means here's a farmer, he's got seeds and it's planting time, and he looks out there and he says, you know, we may have a drought this coming year, or we may not have enough rain this coming year, and I just don't think I'll chance it. I think I'll just keep my seed in the barn because I don't know what's going to happen. I want to play it safe. Well, he does that, but then he won't get a harvest because he played it safe. You see, there comes a time when you just have to trust God. There comes a time when you got to understand that he's the Lord of the harvest. He's the Lord of the wind. He's the Lord of the clouds. He that regardeth the wind will not sow. And if you're one of those people who just sits around and waiting to see which way the wind blows before you do something for God, I feel sorry for you because you're not going to be able to reap. You're not going to be able to reap. He that regardeth the wind shall not sow. We are by faith to go out, go ahead, and just start sowing. Start planting the seed. Start watering the seed. Because if you want to harvest, you've got to get the seed in the ground. Talking about talk is cheap, folks. You're never going to get the seed in the ground by sitting there talking about it. You got to go out there and actually do it. Some of it will fall by the wayside. Some of it will fall amongst thorns. Some of it will fall on good ground. What are we supposed to do? Just plant the seed. Just by faith, plant the seed. And there's one day going to be a harvest. And he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Five parts of the law of the harvest. There's planting. You got to plant. Got to put the seed in the ground. Then there's remembering that what you plant, you will reap. Whatever it is. If it's good, you'll reap good. If it's bad, you'll reap bad. But what you can't do is you can't reap something or you can't plant something bad and then say, Lord, deliver me from this thing. Now, I'm not saying that he can't. And I'm saying that sometimes he has delivered me from that. But in general, hey, listen, if I did jump out of a 20-story building, maybe every now and then I may land on a cushion. Amen? And save me. But I can't count every time on that every single time. Amen? It would be foolish for me to say, well, I think I'll jump from a 20-story building and maybe there'll be a cushion down there. That would be ridiculous to think that way. Well, it's just as ridiculous to think that you can sow something bad and then pray to God and God will deliver you from that reaping, because it's a law you already put in place and you're warned right there in that Bible that you will reap what you sow. Amen? Now, if God says, now listen, you're going to reap what you sow, why in the world would you sow bad seed? I mean, why would you do that? Why would you start to live a life that's not consistent with the way God tells you to live a life? Why would you blow your testimony? Why would you intentionally do things that you know God is not pleased with? Why would you take things into, look at things you shouldn't look at, or listen to things you shouldn't listen to, or go places you shouldn't go, and plant those that bad seed, knowing that when you start to reap it, it's going to be bad? Why would you do that? Reap the good things. Go out there and tell people about Christ. Have a good testimony. Live right. Do good works so other people may see them and say, hey, are you a Christian? Because if you do, you'll get to reap the good things. And hey, you'll get to reap a whole lot more than what you sowed. Now, it's not going to happen quick. Sometimes it'll take a while for it to come around, but it always comes around. Amen? It always comes around. How many of you ever heard that saying, what goes around comes around? Well, let me tell you something. If I take that boomerang today and when I throw that thing, now eventually that thing's going to come back around to me. But it ain't going to happen immediately. Isn't it a shock sometimes when that boomerang comes home? Amen? Got to make sure that we sow the good things. And if we sow, we'll reap the good things. And folks, it's not enough just to talk about it. You got to get out there and do it. I could talk to you until I'm blue in the face this morning and say, you need to go out there and sow good things. You need to go out there and tell people about Christ. You need to go out there and invite people to church. You need to go out there and be kind to people. You need to go out there and be gracious to people. And I could tell you that forever and ever and ever. And you could say, amen, amen, absolutely, Pastor Ab, amen. But until you actually go out there and do it, you're not going to reap anything.
Right.
You're not going to reap a thing. Time to get to work on the harvest. Amen. Let's stand.